Chapter 19. Lexi kept herself busy the next day, making extra batches of brownies and cupcakes to keep her mind off the chili contest that night. She was jittery with the feeling that something was going to happen, and a little nervous at what Nans might do to try to expose Marchese. She'd expected Detective Payne to show up and read her the riot act about the swatch of fabric. The bikers had been happy to hear about how they had found it and the picture that showed Marchese's friend wearing it. Weasel had even whipped out his cell phone and tried to call his cousin on the spot, except there had been no cell phone service. Payne hadn't graced the kitchen with his appearance by the time Lexi was done with her kitchen duties, and she breathed a sigh of relief. She didn't know if that meant he just didn't know about it yet, or if she was off the hook. But either way, she wasn't going to have to deal with him today. At least not until they could get a confession or some other clue from Marchese later on that night. Rushing to her cottage to change, Lexi wondered how she was going to get away from Jack to go to the Marchese booth. Jack wouldn't approve of Nans interrogating him, and she certainly wasn't going to let Nans and the ladies go without her. God only knew what kind of trouble they could get into. She showered and changed into a blue tank top and faded jeans. She fed Sprinkles and dug out a big blanket for them to sit on to view the fireworks, which were supposed to start shortly after dark. Lexi felt the corners of her lips curl in a smile, thinking of how romantic it would be to lay on the blanket with Jack and watch the fireworks, and also of how leaving Jack on the blanket to save their spot would provide the perfect excuse for her venturing off with Nans. By the time Jack finished showering, Nans, Ruth, Helen, Ida, and Ida's fiancé, Norman, had come to collect them. They put Sprinkles in her harness, and then they all started off toward the field. "I figure Norman and Jack can get some chili and then save our spots on the blankets," Ida winked at Lexi. Apparently, the older woman had the same idea Lexi did. They made their way into the event and walked around to a few booths. Lexi wasn't surprised when Nans went straight to the Chillin' Chili booth and grabbed margaritas for everyone. The salty tang of the drink flirted with Lexi's taste buds as the pungent tequila soothed her nerves. The air was filled with a festive vibe and the smell of spices. Lexi felt good walking hand in hand with Jack and surrounded by her grandmother and friends, but she still couldn't shake that niggling feeling that she was being followed. "It's getting crowded up on the hill," Ida pointed to the hillside, which was starting to fill up. "Why don't you and Jack grab some chili, then take the blankets and save us a seat? Us girls want to walk around a little more."
"Okay by you?"
Norman asked Jack, who nodded. Jack and Norman both loved fishing, and the two of them had spent most of the vacation doing just that and becoming close friends in the process. Lexi knew Jack wasn't much for milling around in crowds, so he was more than happy to take the blanket and Sprinkles and set out for more spacious territory. He gave Lexi a quick peck on the cheek, and off they went.
"Now, let's get down to business," Nans whispered after they were out of hearing range. She turned and walked briskly toward the very last row where Marchese's booth was. Taking a detour to breeze by Rat's booth, she stopped only long enough to wish him good luck, then continued on to the last row. Lexi felt a jolt of apprehension as they turned into the last row. The crowd had thinned, and it made her feel exposed. She got that hair-standing-up feeling on the back of her neck again, and wished she'd had two or more margaritas. Her heartbeat picked up speed as they approached the Marchese tent. The crowd seemed oddly disinterested in it, which was strange considering Marchese was supposed to have one of the best chili recipes. As they got up closer to the tent, Lexi found out why. The tent was closed.
"What the heck?"
Nans turned around to face them, her arms extended at her sides, palms out. Is anyone in there? Lexi tried to lift one of the flaps, but the tent was buttoned up tight as a drum. She managed to lift a corner flap to get a peek inside. It's empty. She shrugged at Nans and the ladies.
Well, where could he be?
Ruth looked around.
Maybe out killing someone else that he thinks might steal the wind from him,
Ida whispered.
Let's look inside.
Nans tugged on the corner of the flap that Lexi had opened, and a few more snaps unsnapped, making the opening big enough for them to squeeze in. Lexi's heart pounded against her ribs as she followed Nans inside. She looked around at the tables. Crockpots were simmering, and the tent smelled deliciously like molasses and spices. She noticed Chef Marchese had all the most expensive equipment, from the stainless steel crockpots to the high-tech convection ovens. Everything was top-notch, right down to the premium mahogany-handled knife set. Lexi's stomach lurched, and she sucked in a breath as she stared at the knife set. The handles were identical to the knife she'd seen sticking out of Dugasse's chest.
What is it?
Nans turned to her. This knife set. It matches the one that killed Dugasse. Lexi pointed to the set. And it's missing the chef's knife.
It's too bad you're so nosy.
Lexi whirled toward the sound of the familiar voice, her heart jerking in her chest when she saw who it was. Brad Meltzer. And he had a gun pointed right at Nans.